Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, play a little more Fats though.
Oh, Tuesday.
Everybody.
I'm so tired, got no time.
Actually, I think Obama's starting to feel a few Blue Mondays.
Here come Wednesday.
To be honest with you. I think the Dems are starting to find out that they're not living in dreamland anymore. But what's the difference? Turn it off already. Here we are, Blue Monday, boom, welcome, whatever. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. It's Monday. You want me to get excited? You want me to not get excited? You want me to talk about Sotomayor? You want me to show you I'm politically astute? I'll say Sotomayor instead of Sotomayor. Like Sotomayor. She's from the Bronx, man. It was Sotomayor. No one would, a candy store guy would say, oh, here comes Sotomayor. They wouldn't say Sotomayor. She's not living in Puerto Rico anymore. But of course, the libs have to be politically astute. They have to show you they know every language perfectly, every culture they're sensitive to. The craven and foolish Republican Party. It's unbelievable. I knew they'd roll over. But look, the important thing to remember on her is this. Sure, she's a lib. We know that. But you're replacing Breyer, who's a leftist, with a leftist. You wouldn't expect Obama to pick a conservative for what is a liberal seat, all right? So let's start with that. But the thing is that Sotomayor may be the best choice of the liberals because we looked into the runners-up that were reviewed by the White House before Sotomayor became the nominee. And believe me, you better count your blessings. Some of them, my God. Diane Wood, Elena Kagan, Janet Napolitano, you ought to get on your knees and you ought to do a Hail Mary. You should do five Hail Marys that we got Sotomayor. Of course she's a liberal. Take a look at the backgrounds of the others that could have been picked. That's why I'm not going to talk about it. I'll tell you, it's not that important right now. We know it's lib vote, period, end of story. I'll talk about other things for a minute, if you don't mind, okay? Like, I got a small case of the flu yesterday. I know I'm not supposed to get it. I'm Superman. I'm Mr. Herb. I'm Mr. Vitamin. Well, it came on. I don't know whether it was the flu, whatever. I've been traveling around, and you touch this, you touch that. You shop, you don't put on the gloves. You rub your eye, you rub your ear, you rub your, whatever. So I felt the whole deal, the legs, the this. I said, oh, my God, on a vacation, I don't want this. So then the throat was starting. I'm telling this for a reason. So I went into my protocol because today I'm better. I'm still, like, not out of the woods, but I know that I beat it back because it was coming up like a vengeance in my throat. I once got a sore throat in the Fiji Islands. There was no telephone in those days. We had to use radio telephones to call from where I was collecting plants. I got so sick, they gave me herbs to stop it, I probably would have died. It was the worst sore throat I ever got in my life. To make a long story short, I felt that monster clawing at my throat again. It was coming up from the depths on the back of my throat. What did I do? First thing I did was go back to vitamin C. I'm talking about 4 grams. That's a flat teaspoonful in juice. You know, really heavy do wackaroo. Then I spray my throat with Echinacea Golden Seal. There's an Echinacea Golden Seal mixture that you spray. I never felt that. This stuff's a miracle, okay? Now you're calling me about Sotomayor. Okay, it's okay. You can. Don't call me about Sotomayor. I'm talking about the flu. So I'm telling you what I did to stop it. After I got the natural substances in my body, I went to the real natural. I went to scotch and red wine. I normally don't drink scotch because I get a headache from it, but I always drink it when I feel a sore throat coming on because I told you an old man who survived World War II inside the belly of a cow who didn't drink. He was a teetotaler, but at age 90, he said to me, whenever he feels a sore throat coming on, he takes scotch and he basically gargles with it. I didn't gargle. Well, I gargled, then I drank it. There's no point in wasting 1991 single malt scotches there. So I took a double twice. The doctor said, take two doubles. I'm the doctor, so I said, take two doubles. I said, okay, are you sure? I said to myself, yes. I asked myself, are you positive, doctor? The doctor said, I'm sure, so I took two doubles. Then I opened up a bottle of Gaia Italian Red, sorry, San Lorenzo. Very, very good. I don't drink it. I swear to God, if you had offered it to me the night before, I went to dinner with some relatives here, red wine, I would have thrown up. They had a bottle of a Chianti Classico. Just smelling it, I got sick. I needed it. I knew what I got. I can't explain how these things work. But you don't realize your body chemistry changes according to various things. Then I cooked. I craved onions. I craved garlic, which I happen to know have phenomenal antibacterial, antiviral properties. And, man, did I make a hot sausage and pasta with the marinara and garlic and Gaia Red. And that's it. And I woke up feeling better. So go figure. It works. In other words, everything works. So that's Michael Savage's anti-flu protocol so far. Tomorrow I could be hospitalized, but I'm not hospitalized today. I'm feeling better. And here I am on the air. Obama stops CIA from hunting and killing Al-Qaeda leaders. Did you read that story? A secret CIA initiative terminated by Director Leon Panetta was an attempt to carry out a 2001 presidential authorization to capture or kill Al-Qaeda operatives. I've never seen an administration like this in my life. You know, after World War II, when the Nazis had been defeated and Hitler was dead, it took the U.S. military about 3 to 4 years to kill the lone wolves in Germany. I forget what they were called. I think they were called lone wolves. They were Nazis who wouldn't give up. The U.S. military hired assassins, military killers, who were trained to kill enemies. They went out and killed them one after the other. And then when they caught them, they gave them a trial on the spot and killed them on the spot. That's how they subdued the Nazis. So now we have insane policies saying, no, don't kill Al-Qaeda members. Let them come here and kill us first. You know, play Blue Monday again so we can start again so they know what I'm talking about.
Blue Monday, how are
I'm
going to
sweat
Monday
from my head to my toes for some reason.
Got to work,
sweat
sleep
head down
on
to the foot. It'll come up to me.
Come Tuesday.
Here's another story if none of that appeals to you. You don't want to know about the flu, Sotomayor, CIA, killing. Here's one. Porn King's son held on murder charge. This should attract the listeners to tabloid television. In other words, if you like Michael Jackson, you'll love this story. The 27-year-old son of the late Jim Mitchell, remember the Mitchell brothers who gave us Beyond the Green Door and other wonderful fare for families, the people who had polluted the American mind with porn? The 27-year-old son of the late Jim Mitchell, a pioneering... Only the San Francisco Chronicle called a pornographer pioneering, is in custody today after allegedly killing the mother of his one-year-old daughter with a baseball bat and making off with the girl. I love it. They say killing the mother of his one-year-old daughter. You see, these people don't get married. The libs don't get married. They only have the mother of his daughter. They have children the way your dog has a child in a kennel, libs. Because after all, if it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? So they use women like whatever. The suspect, James Raphael Mitchell, was arrested on suspicion of murder, child abduction, and other charges late Sunday off I-80 in Citrus Heights, Sacramento County. His daughter, Samantha Mitchell, was recovered unhurt, said Nevada Police Chief Sergeant Jennifer Welch. So killed her at the daughter's birthday party, got a little worked up, and killed her mother with a baseball bat. Allegedly, it is stated. The mother said her daughter was not married to Mitchell, but that the couple bought a home together a year ago. Her daughter moved back, blah, blah, blah. Restraining order, blah, blah, blah. Standard Marin County. Restraining orders, blah, blah, blah. Hold her and the daughter hostage at their home a month ago, blah, blah, blah. Officers responded at 7 p.m. where Stevens and Keller lived on Diablo Court after receiving a report of an assault. Keller was dead in the backyard. According to police report, Keller had been struck in the head several times with a baseball bat. Four that was recovered at the scene. An Amber Alert was issued with information posted on freeway electronic billboards and broadcast on television. The Mitchell brothers produced a string of porno movies, including Behind the Green Door, featuring Marilyn Chambers in 1972. You want me to talk about this or Sotomayor? Oh, but let me finish the rest of the story. Wait. So the guy's arrested, blah, blah, blah. The father, Jim Mitchell, was convicted of manslaughter. served 3 years in prison for kicking down the door of his brother's Corte Madera home and shooting him to death in 1991. Mitchell died in 07 at his ranch in western Sonoma County. 300 mourners gathered for the memorial, including former San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown. What you don't know is that Willie Brown, the wonderful former mayor of the city, very nice fella, I think got his start representing pornographers, just to show you where liberals come from. You know what I'm saying? Once a pornographer, always a pornographer. Doesn't matter how nice your suits are or how much cologne you wear, you still stink to high heaven. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Hispanic element of this hearing's important, but I don't want it to be lost that this is mostly about liberal and conservative politics more than it is anything else. And having said that, there are some of my colleagues on the other side that voted for Judge Roberts and Alito, knowing they would not have chosen either one of those. And I will
Lindsey
remember-
Graham's a consummate politician. He's on both sides of many issues. I've never really been a big fan of him, you know. But I'm sick and tired of hearing about the Hispanic element. It makes me sick. I am so sick of racial politics. I don't know about you. I'd rather hear about her judicial brilliance. A Felix Frankfurter, she isn't, that we know. We know that she got into law school because of affirmative action. We know she was made a judge because of affirmative action. We know she's been picked by Obama because of affirmative action. So in other words, we're now seeking the lowest common denominator for the highest possible positions in the land, beginning with the presidency. I mean, you want me to tell you what's going on here? That's what's going on here. The country is not being elevated by this. It's being pushed in the other direction. Affirmative action, by definition, picks people with less qualifications based upon something other than their achievements. It's based upon race or sex or gender or whatever, and has almost nothing to do with their qualifications for the position. So, in other words, America is now seeking people based upon the lowest common denominator, not the highest, which is why we have Obama and why we're going to have Sotomayor. You get it? Now you understand why everything's wrong. Now you could say, well, how good was it under Bush? The answer was terrible. The answer was horrible. But at least under Bush, Michael Savage was not picked off by the British government because of the Bush administration. Under Bush, there was no sniping against people on the left or the right to knock them out of positions in sneaky ways. There were a lot of things on the Bush that I didn't like, but let me tell you something. Americans didn't feel as much fear as they do under this guy. This guy is a stealth dictator, and everybody knows it. What, because she's Hispanic? That qualifies her already. Unbelievable to me. There's an article that she's going to go back up on my website. I'm not going to bore you with reading the whole thing. It was from Family Security Matters by Lisa Richards. Thank you, Lisa. Michael Savage banned from Great Britain. His crime? Speaking his mind. Read the whole article. It's unbelievable to me. Attacking Michael Savage is an assault against free speech and civil rights, putting him in the same league as Geert Wilders, who was banned from the UK for his speaking out against radical Islam. Placing Savage's name in a list with murderers, making false allegations against him, violates his rights, she wrote. Democrats and liberals are pushing to enact the Fairness Doctrine and ban conservative and Christian talk radio. Conservatives need to take a stand together against those absconding with America's First Amendment, she writes. Thank you, Lisa, for having the guts to step out from the pack. I appreciate it. It's now on the left side of michaelsavage.com. Print it and send it around to the people. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Pennsylvania, Larry, you are on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Your talk about your concussion to feel better just brought up back a memory of my father. I must have been 8 years old. I'll be 57 this week.
You mean what I used brings back a memory of your father? So you're saying my treatments killed him?
He had the worst cold, and he comes into the kitchen, and this is a guy who couldn't boil water. Next thing you know, he's boiling milk, cutting up onions, garlic, and throws in a stick of butter.
Well, hold it. The butter is not at all good for a cold, so let's stop right there. Milk is terrible for a cold because it produces a lot of mucus. So Remember, you're talking to a man with a PhD in this field. I'm not just the average schmuck in the street, and I'm not calling your father a name. The onions and garlic were good, but you missed the vitamin C, apparently. You missed the Echinacea golden seal part of it, right?
Absolutely. Okay. He boils this stuff up.
Again, going on. Thank you. I don't care about a folk cure for a cold. You didn't hear me. It wasn't just the onions and garlic and the butter and the milk and throwing the cow's udder over his left arm while braying to a werewolf. I mean, for God's sakes, we're talking science here. With regard to vitamin C, echinacea, and golden seal, science. With regard to scotch and Italian red wine is another story. I craved onions. 1-800-449-822. I knew this would happen. The minute you open the door, Michael Savage banned from Great Britain, the crime speaking his mind. Speaking his mind. You have no idea how serious this is. You haven't any idea. But I have allies over there. Jackie Smith seems to ignore the real culprits of antagonism. London's Conservative Mayor Boris Johnson declared that Parliament should defend the elementary principle of free speech, not put Michael Savage on a list with Hamas murderers and Nazis. So I want to thank all of you who've gone to my website and contributed or sent a check. I am gearing up for a major league lawsuit. I've spent a lot of a small fortune already just to get here, and I got, let's put it this way, so far I got nothing out of it. I'm still on the list. She resigned, yes, but I'm still on the list, and what worries me is that I'm not off the list. What worries me is that Hillary Clinton didn't lift a finger for me. What worries me is that the Secretary of State of the United States of America has an obligation and a duty to protect American citizens falsely accused. What worries me is that I'm an innocent man falsely accused. What worries me is that there's no protection for you. If they get me, they're going to get Rush Limbaugh. They're going to get Sean Hannity. They're going to get Bill O'Reilly. They're going to get everybody on the list one after the other. The reason they picked Michael Savage is because I'm the most outspoken with zero allies outside of my own audience. Because the others won't circle their wagons for me doesn't mean that thus far we haven't won. We've won a few major points. Jackie Smith was forced to resign, largely because of her own behavior, but I was the final straw. Notice what happened. Well, the minute I went on BBC, she resigned the next day. The people saw I was not what she said I was. She was the danger, not me. So thank you for your support, ladies and gentlemen, of the Savage Nation.
Savage.
In the past month, many senators have asked me about my judicial philosophy. Simple. The task of a judge is not to make law.
Oh, no.
It is to apply the law.
Right, sure, okay.
And it is clear, I believe, that my record in two courts reflects my rigorous commitment to interpreting the Constitution according to its terms.
She's a windbag liar, in my opinion. I don't care what you think of what I just said. What, because they elevate, you heard of her? 2 months ago, you never heard of her. Now, suddenly, she's God already. She said to white people, drop dead. Based on race, you're not getting it anywhere. What do you want to cover this up? Now she's already playing Miss Moderate. The task of a judge is not to make law. It is to apply the law. And my record shows my rigorous attempt to wreck the Constitution according to my terms, is what she should have said. You forgot already the fireman decision that was just overturned by this whole Supreme Court? She is not qualified. This is a repeat of Ruth Bader Ginsburg all over again, with the same Republican types once again ushering in a radical extremist. However, as I said at the beginning of the show, she may be the least extreme of the extremists that Obama could have picked. How do you like that? You expect them to pick a centrist? So forget about it. It's a waste of time, the whole thing. It's a rubber stamp job. You may as well be living in Bolivia in the 1950s. Where they pick a judge from wherever they want. What are you talking about? A judge? She's a judge like you're a judge. In my day, this woman wouldn't have been a judge, a district judge. But because America has become a different world today than the day I grew up. And remember, I'm the son of an immigrant. But I wasn't told that because you're the son of an immigrant, they're going to lay down for you and give you they're going to grease the skids. In fact, the opposite was true. They said to me, because you're the son of an immigrant, you're going to have to work 10 times harder to get anywhere. Because you are the son of an immigrant, people are going to mock you. They're going to push you down. They're going to try to keep you down. And you're going to have to outdo them with hard work. And whatever God gave you in between your head isn't enough. You know what they say? Genius is 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. You heard that? Well, let me tell you something. I'm the living embodiment of it. But so are millions of you out there. That was in my day. But no longer today. Today, before they get off the banana boat, me immigrant, you racist, I sue ACLU. Right away, boom. Right away, they want to go to the head of the class and push you in the back of the bus. That's the new immigrant in America today. Take a look at what's going on in Los Angeles. Take a look at what's going on in the city of Los Angeles and the state of California, what illegal immigrants have done, like a scythe through the state. Lied by the politicians, lie for them every day of the week. Take a look at the fact that one-third of all prisoners are illegal aliens. What are you going to do with that fact? Twist it? They didn't come here to work. They came here to rob, steal, rape, counterfeit, whatever they can get away with. Killing police, killing women, raping women, and running back across the border and laughing at you. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. You're a liar if you don't know the reality of it. And the politicians are the worst criminals of all, covering up for these criminals and liars. The politicians are gangsters. They're the godfather, every one of them. Every last criminal enterprise, fronting for drug dealers, fronting for pimps, fronting for pornographers, fronting for Saudi Arabia, fronting for communist China, fronting for Cuba, fronting for Venezuela, and they're not fronting for you. Who the hell is representing you? Tell me who the hell represents you in Congress. Tell me the last time you heard anyone get up there and talk about America and the soldiers and the police and the American family. Tell me the last time you heard anybody in Congress speak for you. You didn't, because they don't. The only people who do are Michael Savage and a few others in talk radio and many bloggers. That's it. That's the entire representation of the American people. The Tea Party's represented you. Did you see any broadcast on the media after July 4th? They spit on you. Those empty suits, those department store dummies without secondary sexual characteristics, like Wolf Blitzer, that piece of garbage. They don't represent the American people. They represent the criminals that run America. And they make believe you don't exist. So you get me started on Sotomayor. Believe me, I can go off like a rocket. July 4th may be over, but don't get me started on this woman. She's as qualified to be a Supreme Court justice as, let us say, an ordinary lawyer in your town. It's all she is. And I don't even think she could have passed law school without affirmative action. Let me tell you that right now. Did she achieve something in her life? Yes. Did she work hard? Yes. Is she a brilliant jurist? I don't know. What did she write that you know of? Can anyone listening to this show cite one legal article that she wrote that would put her in the class that would say, that you would say, therefore she belongs in the Supreme Court? She has written such legal opinions that are so brilliant that she belongs on the United States Supreme Court, which, by the way, is more powerful than the presidency, when you think about it. You want to turn it over to this woman? Why? Because Obama says so? Because those fronts for the lowest elements in the world, called senators, want you to rubber stamp her? But what can you do? You don't live in a democracy anymore. You live in a hypocrisy. I once said you live in a hip-hop-cracy. You live in a hip-hop-cracy. Because the hip-hop artists, if you want to call them that, are more esteemed than are you. Last week, the king of pill popping, I named him that on Monday, died. You would have thought that JC himself had come back from the grave and died. Did you see the vermin in the media tripping over themselves with the gold casket until eventually America made them stop it? Until eventually you were heard and said you disgust me to the media and the politicians when you said, are you kidding me? Celebrating a junkie like that? A child molester like that? Are you crazy? So don't tell me I don't have a relative knowledge of what's going on. I do. You don't. And your politicians are the it's a shocker to me that they talk about her with such a grave tones. And she's reading the script written for her by some guy with curly hair and big Coke bottle glasses who went to Columbia or NYU Law, and he thinks he's fooling the American people. You hear her talking about this? And play clip 29. Listen to this rubbish of Sotomayor reading this rubbish. Listen to this.
In the past month, many senators have asked me about my judicial philosophy. Simple. Fidelity to the law.
You're full of crap. Turn her off. It's not fidelity to the law. Then why did you turn on white firefighters knowing it was illegal? You have no fidelity to anything except your agenda, your left-wing radical agenda. You are not qualified as far as I'm concerned. Go back where you came from. How's that? Virginia, Tony, you're on the Savage Nation.
First of all, I want to say it's a pleasure and honor to finally speak with you. And being a Puerto Rican from the Bronx, your old neighborhood, Bryant Avenue, I want to tell you something. She is a disgrace. As far as I'm concerned, she should be quite, you know.
Well, or let's leave it at that. She's a disgrace because she's not qualified, and we all know that. Everybody knows this woman is no Supreme Court material. Everyone knows it listening to her.
Nothing at all. I just want to say that, please, I don't want anybody to judge Puerto Ricans by her standards. We are hardworking people.
I know that. I know that. You don't. I mean, I know all of this. I grew up in New York, and not everybody thinks that Sotomayor represents her people any more than, let us say, certain individuals represent other races.
Thank you for pointing that out. I've been listening to you for many years. I spoke with you last, just before the 2004 elections when Kerry was a self-proclaimed hero.
Yeah, and yeah. Were you in Vietnam with him?
I was there for 31 months. I said, what does that make me? And you said, you said a lot of good things. But nevertheless, the thing is, she's a disgrace.
Well, right, and I also happen to know, by the way, that amongst the most highly decorated soldiers in America's military history in the last three wars were people of Hispanic descent. I think I said that, Tony.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, a small point of information that I discovered myself is that based on a per capita basis, Puerto Ricans have earned the Congressional Medal of Honor more than any other race in this country.
That's correct, because you come from an extremely brave group of people. And I'm so glad that you called this show so that people don't think all of a sudden that I'm attacking her because of her race, but I'm sick of having her race thrown in my face like that's suddenly a qualification.
Exactly. That's no more than tokenism. And I'm tired of that, completely tired of it. I hear you.
It's disgusting that we have to go through this at this time. But look, when we have a president who was put there because largely because of his race, does anyone listening to this show believe otherwise? Are you telling me that if Barack Obama had been a white man, 100% white, he'd be president today? Does anyone listening to this show believe that? No. Thank you for the call. Chicago, Tony, you're up. Go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Dr. Savage, I love it when you are firing on all cylinders. And I want to tell you, after 3 weeks of being drowned with this Michael Savage, it is such a breath of fresh air to hear.
Oh, you mean drowned with Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson.
Don't think I wasn't listening.
I'm sorry about that, Dr.
No, Savage. No, that's okay. You got excited. That's because I have a slight fever right now, so I'm thinking clearly. It's burning away all of the confusion. Thank you. I know the minute the show is over, I'm going to get in my car, I'm going to drive home, and I know it's waiting for me. I can see it already. I'm shaking waiting for it. Not shaking. I can't wait. I'm going to repeat last night. It's going to be a scotch. It's going to be red wine from Italy. Then I'm going to go out to a local Italian restaurant. I'm going to eat a plate of garlic. Lunch I ate in a Cuban restaurant, by the way. What great people the Cuban people who came over here. You know, the libs like it. They disgraced all the Cuban people by saying all of the people who came over on the Mariel boat lift were criminals, that Castro freed up his prisons and this and that. That was to disgrace the 99.9% of Cubans who came over who were capitalists. He threw the capitalists out of Cuba. In other words, he threw you out of Cuba. Think if Obama declared war on you as an American business person, and you had to flee America and leave behind the house that you had lived in, maybe your grandfather lived in, and leave behind your business, and all you could take was a little, maybe ship cash over, and you had to go to another country. That's the Cuban Mariel boat wave. And many people fear that this Obama, given time and power, will be exactly what Fidel Castro was. You want to know what the truth is? There's the truth. That's all. All right, let's take some callers, okay? San Francisco. KNEW. Greg, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just graduated from law school recently. I'm studying for the California Bar right now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I can tell you just from personal experience, I grew up in San Francisco, and you know, just 3 years of it, nothing but solid elitism from most of the professors and nothing but contempt for actual law, precedent, for federalism.
Greg, which law school? You care to tell us?
University of Pacific McGeorge in Sacramento.
It's very sad to hear that it's so infested with communists. I don't call them liberals anymore, Greg. I refer to them as communists now directly. I make no bones about it. I know what a communist is. When it walks like a communist, when it talks like a communist, when it associates with communists, what is it, Greg?
I'm an immigrant from the Soviet Union. I came over with my family when I was five, so I can completely understand what you mean. And it doesn't just stop at the lecture. They specifically target and try to ridicule and embarrass students that express any regard for conservative thought or for just rule of law.
In other words, any white boy who stands up for conservatism and patriotism is picked on by the goon squad?
I had a professor call me Little Scalia throughout the year because of the things I would say in class.
Little who?
Little Scalia.
Oh, really? And please tell us what the professor's ethnic background was and the gender.
Actually, the professor was male and I believe Italian himself. Mm-hmm.
Well, how many times have I said if you think that liberals are limited to certain races, you're mistaken? Because I once said to somebody, I'm ashamed of Jewish liberals. They embarrass me for how far left they are. And a guy said to me, if you think Jewish liberals are bad, you never met an Irish liberal. Then I had an Italian friend who said, if you think that Jewish liberals and Irish liberals are bad, you never met an Italian liberal. They're even worse. And along came Nancy Pelosi. So there you go.
Pretty bad.
Well, Greg, one last thing as a law student. Did you see affirmative action at work?
I believe I did.
Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you something. What happens when the affirmative action student hits the bar exam and they can't pass it? How do they rig that?
Yeah, as far as I know, that's actually where they can't rig it. It's the bar in California has a very low pass rate.
What do they do? They take a job with Jerry Brown or with Schwarzenegger or with the mayor when they can't pass the bar?
I guess. I mean, I have no idea what they do for a living at that point, but they got to do something.
Well, they can't sue anybody if they can't pass the bar. That leaves only one thing. That would be government.
Absolutely.
They got to take a job in government or become a loan broker or something. I'll be right back. Thanks for the call. Savage. Is Judge Sotomayor out of step with mainstream America? Of course she is. What would you expect from Obama, who's also out of step with mainstream America? Of course she's out of step with America. Of course she's an extremist. Of course everyone's covering up the fact that she attacked white firemen. Of course they're not bringing up the fact that she was just overturned by this Supreme Court. Of course we all know she's not qualified. Of course we all know the king has no clothing. And of course we know she is reading a script handed to her by the handlers who gave us hope and change. The same folks who gave you hope and change are trying to now give you Sotomayor. But you have no effect over this, so what's the difference? You think you're living in a democracy? You have a vote over this? You know what his slogan, hope and change, really meant. We hope you don't mind if I change the Constitution. That's all. Or I hope you don't mind if we change capitalism to communism. So what are you going to do about it? So what, mayor? What are you going to do about her? Don't you understand what these people are and what they're all doing to you and the fact that it would have been a radical liberal one or the other? I told you it would have been her, Diane Wood, Elena Kagan. Take a look at them. Take a look at who's now running Harvard Law School. Go take a look at who's running law schools today if you think that you're going to have judicial prudence. You think you're going to have a judicial scholar? Felix Frankfurter? Can you name one ruling that Sotomayor wrote that is so brilliant that it'll be live in the annals of legal history? I don't. They didn't bring that up today. All it brought up is she's Hispanic. That's suddenly a qualification now. You hear this? It's sickening. This is sickening. It's disgusting. San Francisco, KNEW, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, this is Lance, and I would call you back to your procurement of the HMS Sheffield Life Ring. I think
yes.
You did this 90 days ago or something like that.
Yeah, I'm sitting right next to it, as a matter of fact, yes.
It occurs to me that you should use that as a very important possible gift and demonstration of goodwill to both the people and the Queen of England and send it to them.
That's fascinating. You know, I found out that this life raft ring, the HMS Sheffield, was probably off the Sheffield, which was sunk by the Argentinians during the Falklands War, and that an Argentinian picked it up somewhere in Argentina, obviously, and brought it to Florida, where I bought it in a junk shop.
I believe that the HMS Sheffield was brought down by a French aircraft using a French missile, a Mirage with an exocet, I believe. Things never change.
Well, the British lost the ship, and all I'm saying is I have the life ring I bought in a secondhand store, but you're saying you just show it as a symbol.
Well, it's a tool for you, I think. There's a future for that life ring. And
that's very interesting. You know, you raise a very good point. When I am exonerated, when I am taken off this list of criminals, which I do not belong upon on this list, and I am invited to England, I may go or I may not go. In fact, I've been invited, I don't know if I can say this. Let's say this. One of the oldest debating societies in Britain has invited me to speak in England. They want me there. Perhaps when and if I decide to go to England, I will bring this as a gift. That's very interesting. And present it. That's a fascinating idea, Lance. To bring this as a gift and give it to one of the children of one of the men who was lost in that ship. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Certainly. Or give it to the Queen and she can choose to whom it goes.
I like the Queen. I've always been a fan of the Queen. Lance, let me send you a copy of Healing Children Naturally. Do you have children yet or not?
I have a copy of Healing Children Naturally.
And I'm sending you Psychological Nudity. By the way, I stay on the line. We're going to send you a free book. I am working as I speak to you this summer on my new book called Banned in Britain, The Fight for Free Speech. I am working on the story. I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes story, the legal letters, what's going on, the machinations. It's all going to be in my new book, Banned in Britain. And it's going to be published by me and available only on my website, I think, initially. Because New York publishers don't deserve it. Could you play the Britain song for me on the way out the door in this first hour? There's no Queen anymore. No England anymore. Oh, Teddy, baby. I miss him. My dog. I haven't seen my dog in 10 days. The last vacation I'm ever going on. Never again. Especially not without Teddy. Teddy, baby, I'll be home soon. Teddy, honey, wait for me. I'm on the way.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Jackie Smith and Teddy Savage. Now, I do not know whether the dog would qualify for a Supreme Court appointment, but I'm going to nominate him for the next federal judgeship that comes up. In the sense that there was a czar, if you want to call him a czar, known as a Caesar in ancient Rome, who thought so much of the Senate in ancient Rome that he took out one of the senators from his seat and he put a horse in his seat. And he said, "Sir, you make as much sense as a horse. In fact, the horse makes more sense. And so therefore, I'm going to replace you with a horse." And Caligula put a horse in the senator's seat. I believe today we would be better served with poodles in the Republican Party than we are with most of the senators, as evidenced by the fact that they are supine, disappeared, unwilling to speak out, easily bamboozled. And when you see the likes of Leaky Leahy and Diane the Scarf Feinstein, two of the lowest of possible varieties of the species, getting up there as though they're God Almighty and speaking with such authority and such astounding audacity, you have to ask yourself, would a horse not be a better choice, if not a poodle, than what we have for the Republican Party? And that kicks off the second hour tonight of the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Of course, the question is Sotomayor in touch with the American people? The answer is, of course, she is not. We well know that she is an affirmative action appointee both to law school and to a judgeship and now to this position. But the fact is that if it was not for affirmative action, we wouldn't have Barack Obama. Is there one person listening to this show who can argue realistically that Obama was not advanced his entire life because of the fact that he is multiracial? Are you telling me that if Obama was either strictly all white or all black, his achievements were so stupendous that he would have been president of the United States? You know it and I know it. It was white liberal guilt, number one, and then combined with a ton of money from unknown sources, mainly foreign sources, then combined with the fact that the Republicans ran a fall guy called John McCain who was set up to lose, because after 8 years of robbing the Treasury and killing as many men as possible in Iraq as slowly as possible in order to keep the war profiteering going, they figured it's time to throw the baton to the demon cats. And then after 8 years of the Dems, they'll come back saying they're going to save you with low taxes and limited government and that they're for family values after doing nothing for any of those things. And so that's the way it works. So after 16 years of Clinton and Bush, we now have Barack Obama, and now we see Sotomayor. But as I said at the beginning of the last hour, what do you expect Obama to replace a liberal with? Another liberal, of course, not a conservative, not a centrist, not somebody in touch with mainstream. You would want an extremist, or rather, excuse me, you would expect an extremist president to pick an extremist person for the Supreme Court. But then Bill Clinton did the same thing. Didn't Bill Clinton pick Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who had worked for the ACLU, which immediately should have disqualified her? An extremist organization like that, and she was qualified? No. But who ushered her in? Orrin Hatch. And guess what? Orrin Hatch is still there. So there it is. The fact that she's a Hispanic should have nothing to do with this choice. If she was an Hispanic woman who was a brilliant jurist, I would say wonderful, great, it's a plus. But to put her Hispanic heritage above her judicial prowess is embarrassing. I think it would be embarrassing to anyone who's Hispanic in particular. So there it is. There are other topics, but I think this is the only one that you want to talk about. There are many other topics. I mean, I could name them. I've named already two of the topics. You got the Republican Party in meltdown. They're jumping aboard for the Sarah Palin story. What is that? What is that with Sarah Palin? Is she crazy or what? I don't understand it anymore. She sounds like a nut bar to me. I was never a Sarah Palin fan. I know many of you are going to be disappointed. I think the faster she leaves the scene, the better off we all are. Because, sure, she may stand for the right things, but this woman is unelectable. Yes, I know the libs are jumping all over her, but she's unqualified to be anything high. She's about at the same level as Sotomayor, as far as I'm concerned. And this is not what the Republicans need. A returning war veteran, a general, the Republicans need. A businessman who made a fortune and stands for family values, the Republicans need. Okay? A businessman who understands what it is to run a business, who's married with children with family values, that's what the Republicans need. Not a shadowy person who may have been born in Kenya or Ghana or Indonesia or wherever, Look what we have now. So it's all deceit right now. It's all deceit. 1-800-449. Would a poodle make a better senator or judge than what we see up there today? Now, I could argue for Teddy being appointed to... look, they don't have to talk to be a judge today. What if we could learn to interpret their barks? And that certain barks mean yes and the other barks meant no. Wouldn't that be on the same level as a Supreme Court justice who has no known judicial background where any opinions could really be figured out or any judicial prowess? I think it would be just as well. In other words, one bark means yes and one bark means no. One means guilty and one means innocent. And I think a dog might have more compassion than most of the Supreme Court justices do today, or any judge for that matter. So there, you want to talk about this or what, or other stuff on the Savage Nation? I already gave you my cure for the cold, the common cold. That's a one-day cure already. But it goes back to high doses of ascorbic acid, vitamin C, then the Echinacea Golden Seal spray, and then the other stuff to go with it, to deaden it all and put me to sleep. The two double scotches, 1991 single malt, a certain brand I'm not going to mention, and an Italian red Gaia, which you can't get anyway. You can only buy limited amounts. I don't mind promoting it because you can't get the wine. It's too expensive anyway. I drink it once a year. I drank a half a bottle last night after the scotch. Then I made the garlic, the onions, the hot sausage, the pasta. I fell asleep in a stupor. I had nightmarish dreams all night. And here I am on the air again today. Nothing will stop. The show must go on. No, the show must go on, that's all. This is ghoulish, this killing in Florida. Six to eight suspected in Florida couple slaying. What the heck is this? Surveillance video shows five masked people storming home. Police seek two men caught on camera outside Walmart. Robbery of motive, believe there are other motives. Bird and Melanie Billings, who adopted special needs kids, found dead. What is this all about? It's frightening. This is a terrible story. I don't understand it at all. Robbery? And then what? There's more from it? There's something weird about this. One managed to flee the home and seek help at a neighbor's house, one of the children. Wayne Calderon, Leonard Patrick Gonzalez Jr., and Leonard Patrick Gonzalez Sr. were arrested over the weekend. Take a look at their pictures. Nice, nice fellas. Nice fellas, the T-shirts hanging down, the hoods over their head. Nice fellas that break into your house, and you don't have a loaded shotgun. No, call 911 or call Brinks. Go ahead. You ever see these ads for Brinks? I mean, I have nothing against Brinks. They show a frightened white woman with a white guy breaking in with a hood over his head. And the husband gets up and he dials, "Hello, Brinks. There's a break-in downstairs. Help is on the way." By the time you say on the way, you're dead already. You're hog-tied, raped, and dead. The only thing that's on the way is a Smith & Wesson in one hand and a loaded shotgun in the other. And six pit bulls that jump down from the upper balcony and rip their throats out. What do you mean help is on the way? You got to help yourself. You waiting for the government? It's the same with the government here. Help is on the way. We have the pit bulls. We have the guys with the shotguns. But Leon Panetta of the CIA just called him off Al-Qaeda. I guess he needs a few of them to visit us. They need to visit us in Penn Station. You hear that story? I'll be right back. You know, I wrote a book called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder a number of years ago, and I haven't been forgiven by the mentally disabled liberals who are ruining the world. Remember a few years ago there was a large outcry in America about building foot baths for Muslims in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, at the airport. Do you remember we read that Somali immigrant taxi drivers wouldn't pick up people with dogs, even if they were blind? That they were so bigoted and blinded by their religion that they thought they could bring their backwards ways to America? Remember that? Well, now it turns out that there's a whole slew of Somali Americans, boys who are going back to Somalia, kids who were born here, by the way, or came here when they were one, are being radicalized right here in America, in Minneapolis, and going back to Somalia to fight for Al-Qaeda and blow up people, kill themselves with other people. It's going on here. You hear this? And yet they have a group called the Somali Justice Advocacy Center, and they're saying, "Who did this to him? Who did this to him?" says Omar Jamal of Minneapolis' Somali Justice Advocacy Center. "He must have been somewhat disillusioned and indoctrinated because he didn't have a clue about Somalia. So someone somewhere must be responsible for his disappearance. If I were the FBI, I'd start there instead of reading your booklet on affirmative action of who you can investigate. Start with the Somali Justice Center. Go into the area mosques instead of looking elsewhere. Stop looking at returning American war veterans." The mothers don't even know what's happening to their children. All the children born in America, they disappear. They wind them back in Somalia trying to kill innocent people, all in the name of their radicalism. Asha said She cannot figure out what led the young men in Minneapolis to want to return to Somalia. She says, what is this al-Shabaab? What does this word mean? She says, their fight against fellow Somalis does not make sense to many members of the expatriate community. Either way, Somali Americans want to know why these young men and boys are going into the country that their parents struggled so hard to leave to provide a better life for their children. Oh, they don't know? They can't figure it out, huh? They can't figure it out? Well, what's the FBI doing for all the money we give them, investigating returning war veterans and talk show hosts? FBI says, counterterrorism is our number one priority in the FBI. And in this area, since 9/11, our agents have been geared in that direction with the goal of preventing future terrorist attacks. So it is a significant concern and one that we're giving our highest priority. Like hell you are. Your highest priority is looking at your booklets that Obama gave you to make sure you're not violating any immigrants' rights or any minorities' rights. We know what's going on in this country. We're not stupid. You're all failing us at every level. Every intelligence agency's failing us. Every police agency's been crippled. And now we got Sotomayor. We're supposed to look up to her now because they told us she's a genius. I want one liberal listening to this show to call this program right now and tell me one ruling that she wrote that will live in legal history. Name one. Name one ruling she wrote that will live in legal history. You can't even name one. She is not qualified for this position. Not because she's a liberal, but because she is undistinguished. She has done nothing to qualify herself for the highest position in the land. Do you understand that they're more important than the president? I know a liberal is going to replace a liberal. I know. But this one, zero qualifications. No background whatsoever. Daytona, Florida. Eric, you're on the Savage Nation.
Absolutely. I think that my daughter's dog, Java, should be elected to Senate. And then should run for president. And I'll tell you why. Because he's got Judeo-Christian values, but I've never heard him bring it up. And I've never heard him make a stupid decision either. He's a good dog.
How do you know he makes good decisions?
I've never seen him make a bad one. He doesn't hang out with terrorists.
Yeah.
You know?
He doesn't discriminate based upon race either, does he?
No, absolutely not.
In other words, your dog, does it bark at people of color?
No, of course not.
Well, Sotomayor, if she were a canine, would have shown herself to be untrustworthy because apparently she barked at people of a different race. Shall I put it into a canine language? She ruled that white firemen are not equal. She said white firemen are not equal to others. She said that her Latina heritage makes her better than others. She's a racist. What else do you think this is?
Well,
Tulsa, Oklahoma. Perry, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, I'm very concerned about our country. I just got done watching the Cremation of Care video on YouTube. It talks about what they really, and it shows video evidence of what they do at the Bohemian Grove. All these guys are sick.
Wait, whoa. Now you're setting me up with something or something you didn't want to really talk. You wanted to talk about the Bohemian Grove. So you're obsessed with the Bohemian Grove.
Well, I mean, I saw video proof of what they do there. And
so what is it you want America to do, close down the Bohemian Grove?
Well, I think they should start to be a little more open to the fact that a lot of these guys agree about most of the issues behind closed doors. They may act like they're opposed when, you know, they're in the public eye, but it's all an act.
Who is in the Bohemian Grove? Are they Bohemians or are they?
Well, you have guys like Schwarzenegger's been there, Bush, Newt Gingrich has gone there.
How come I haven't been invited? I'd like to get naked in the woods with a bunch of fat old Republicans. Why am I not invited?
I can
think of no better vacation this August than to be invited to get naked and get down with some fat, naked Republicans like Newt Gingrich. What a great summer vacation that would be.
With owl statue also.
What else do they do? They drink what? They drink blood? I mean, what else are you suggesting?
Well, the interesting thing is there's a video on YouTube where you can see it. I mean, they show the whole little ceremony they do.
Well, let's not go into it. I'm not interested in that part. Can we do this in a family way? What do they do there that upsets you?
Well, they do a mock sacrifice in front of an owl statue. And
that's cute. That's almost innocent. And what is it that they sacrifice?
Servitude.
No, but what do they kill?
Well, it's a mock sacrifice of a human being. It's like a dummy. It's a wooden
dummy. What, they use a crash dummy from an old test? that a Schwarzenegger gets from one of the departments he has? They get a crash dummy and they sacrifice it?
I don't think so. I mean, it has origins in paganism.
Is there sex? Come on, let's get down to it. Is there wild sex in the woods while the wives were away? Is that what you're implying? The thought of it with Newt Gingrich is enough to make me puke.
Savage.
After six extraordinary years on the district court, I was appointed by President Clinton to the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit. On that court, I have enjoyed the benefit of sharing ideas and perspectives with wonderful colleagues. As we have worked together
what a crock of garbage. To resolve the issues. Who does she think she's talking to? People who listen to Michael Jackson? Are you kidding listening to this person? She's stupid if she thinks anyone believes a word of this pap, this garbage. The woman is a stone-hearted racist and a narcissist to top it all off, in my opinion. Her Latina genius is going to make her better than everybody, and white males need not apply to the fire department. You hear this? That's the best they could do? All right, pick a liberal with some judicial genius. It's frightening, the meltdown, the lowest common denominator here. Play Power of Vivir. I'd rather listen to Puerto Rican music than this garbage. That's the theme song of the Savage Nation.
La Nación de Savage. Solamente aquí.
There you go. Take a look at who's running the country today. Take a look at the faces. Nancy Pelosi. Steny Hoyer. Al Frankenstein. Take a look at what's in the Senate now. Take a look at what's going on in your country. You're telling me this is a step up or a step down? It's like a meltdown. What a step up or a step down? It's a meltdown, not a step down. It's a meltdown. It's like Chernobyl. Our government is run by incompetence and morons and thieves. It is a meltdown. Virginia Beach, John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage.
Hello.
I waited for about an hour to try to get to you, and I'm listening to you. I don't know whether you even passed that subject or not. But when you was talking about Obama not being being elected because of his race, you know, all that mixture you got in it.
Yeah.
And about the, you were the only one, I listen to a lot of talk radio, but you were the only one that don't take sides and you just call it like it is.
Well, John, wait a minute. Let's evaluate this. Obama did nothing as a U.S. senator. Nothing. He never wrote anything that anyone really paid any attention to. What did he do that made him so special? Nothing. Where did he come from? Who is he? There's even big questions about where he was born. You know that.
Yes.
Is he a U.S. citizen? That's a monster story that is being suppressed that's under the surface. So the fact of the matter is, putting that aside, we now have an incompetent man pushed by affirmative action as president who's now trying to push a rather ordinary, if not lower than ordinary, woman into the U.S. Senate, into the Supreme Court. Why shouldn't I be outraged?
Well, no, I'm saying you should be.
I want to remind the audience listening to this show, if you think that this is based on race, that you are 100% wrong. Mark this down in bronze. When George Bush tried to appoint Harriet Meyer to the Supreme Court, I raised bloody hell because I said she's a hack. She's his personal lawyer. She's I forget the word I used, the exact word. Basically, she was a nobody. She had done nothing. And I organized a lot of people to send letters to Bush and to the Congress and saying, reject Harriet Meyer because she's unqualified. Remember that at all, John? I don't think you were listening to the show then. Very few people don't know that it was I who undermined Harriet Meyer's appointment to the Supreme Court because I thought it would have been a disaster for America. So it's not based on race. To me, I'm a guy who looks up to people who have achieved something. I'm the kind of guy, because I worked so hard in my life to have what I have, I've struggled, I have fought, I've overcome every kind of adversity imaginable to get what I have, and people try to take it away from me every day. As you know, So I look up to people who've achieved something, whether I agree with them or not politically, is almost irrelevant. If they've achieved something, I admire them. If they've gotten there due to the government pushing them on me, I don't admire them at all. I despise them. Pennsylvania David, you're next up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Michael, thank you very much for taking my call. You stole my thunder. I was going to say just at that exact point that we had her retracted, and I just want to know where the intellectual honesty among the liberals.
You're talking about Harriet Meyer when I raised such hell over it, remember?
I remember like yesterday.
And what was it that I said? I called her a non-entity. Now I remember. I said that Harriet Meyer, who, by the way, was a white woman, in case you've forgotten, not Hispanic, is unqualified. She's a non-entity. Bush picked her because she's his private lawyer. It's a disaster for him to get away with this no, no, no to Harriet Meyer, remember? And as a result, they then picked Roberts. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. And
Roberts is a good man, an intelligent man, and a centrist. That's what we need on the Supreme Court, not an extremist and a racist like Sotomayor.
So for those liberals who always espouse the intellectual honesty and intellectual honesty, I want to know where it is. All I can say is, like a pointer, like a pointee.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com is the website. And I see Bernie Madoff's going to a club Fed, even though they gave him 150 years, and that was supposed to send him to a bad, hard time where sausage would have been served three times a day. He is going to Otisville, which is near his penthouse, so his children can visit with the gold or whatever, find out where he hid it and which mattress. Otisville is near Middletown, New York, in Orange County, 77 miles away from Bernie Madoff's former penthouse apartment. I thought that the 150 years meant he was going to go to some horrendous place with sleep 900 days a year. No. He's going to go to a club here. He's going to a club. He's going to get special food and special treatment. If anyone looks at him wrong, he's going to sue. You know that. Otisville's a country club. I know. Believe me, I know what it is. I've looked into it. He got the soft. That's where his lawyer wanted him to go. That's where the lawyer worked to get him in there. How did he pull this off? I wonder how much he had to pay under the table through the lawyer to get into Otisville. Does anyone have any idea what this costs? I'd like to know myself what this kind of thing costs. You get 150 years, you're supposed to go to a slammer in Alabama where you wear striped suits with a chain and you break rocks or whatever in the sun. He's going to Otisville, which normally they send like traffic scofflaws to, or someone who like absconded a minor offense, and he's going to get special meals and hang out. He'll get a job in the law library because he's an expert on how to get around it, so therefore they should put him in the law library. How much does it cost to get your lawyer to smear off a judge to get you in a joint like that? Is there any listening to the show went to Otisville? And how much did it cost? You could call with a napkin over your mouth. I'd like to know. Let's say people want to know these things. How much do you think Bernie Madoff's lawyer paid and the judge to get him appointed to Otisville? That's like going to Harvard as opposed to Alabama State University. In the, you know what I'm saying? It's like Harvard Square. Air-conditioned, heated, DirecTV, special billiards, probably a bowling alley, a chicken-plucking institute. I don't know what they have up there. Is there anyone listening to this show? Come on, I want to talk about this for a minute. Because, when the show's going to come to an end in an hour and 20 minutes, and I'm going to have a scotch, then we'll have to get home, then scotch, then the red wine, because I feel it coming back, the claw at the throat. No one's calling from Otisville. Is there anyone listening to the show who was in Otisville? No someone in Otisville. Can tell us about Otisville. Can tell us how much you have to smear off a corrupt judge in New York to get to Otisville. How did he get there? Because they said that if he got less time, he could go to Otisville. But once Denny Chin threw 150 years at him, he wasn't going to get a soft touch. Now he's going to Otisville? Does anybody know? Indiana, Kevin knows something about Sotomayor. Go ahead, Kevin. I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, I was watching the Fox News program yesterday, and I thought it was really interesting that they're of the same ilk, Obama and Sotomayor. Just as Obama gets elected and then kind of turns on the country that he's supposed to be leading, mm-hmm. Sotomayor, even though she had been gotten into both law schools on affirmative action,
yes.
She brought suit against both law schools.
What, for not appointing her fast enough to a higher position?
Yes.
Well, that's nothing unusual. I'll tell you who else did it. There's a guy who's about 4 foot one who was the labor secretary under Bill Clinton named Robert Reich, who said that he hopes that the money doesn't go to white construction workers. Remember him?
Yes.
Well, that little cretinous vermin is teaching at University of California at Berkeley. And he thought that by shooting his mouth off before Obama became president, he'd be appointed to something. He's got appointed to nothing. But his wife, if I never forget this as long as I live, she also got into a law school based on the woman thing, affirmative action, and sued the law school because she didn't get what she wanted fast enough. This is classic operating procedure to radical liberals. They sue their way to the top. You understand that? Well, you understand it. I'm still waiting for one caller on Otisville. I'd pay right now $50 for a caller who was in Otisville who could give us the lowdown on what it costs to get in there. Because many people listening to this show may wind up in Otisville one day. They may get a sentence and they may want to go to Otisville. The food's better. It's like special meals on an airplane. In other words, if you're smart, you order an ethnic meal on an airplane for two reasons. A, you're guaranteed to get it instead of a rotten turkey sandwich or bologna or no meal at all like an American Airlines. If you get first class and you sit in the front going east, they tell you they serve from the rear first, and the only thing left is a junior hot dog from Coach that was found underneath the carpet with bubble gum stuck to it. You say, but wait a minute, I'm in first class, and they give you, get out the tape and get out the mask. If you say you're in first class and you want anything, they tape you to the chair, and they're waiting for you on the other side in American Airlines. So then you say, okay, I was sitting in the back row, and I got served in the front row, and they served me last, and I only got a junior hot dog. I got it. She said they serve from the back forward. So you request sitting in the back going the other way. So you're sitting in the back and you wind up again. She says, we only have a junior hot dog left with chewing gum on it that was found in the toilet. You say, wait a minute. This is first class. You told me it was going east. You serve first, last, and last first. She said, yeah, but going the other way, we serve first, and last. So you're getting a piece of a hot dog. And if you say another word, we will not only tape you to the chair, we're going to beat you about the head and neck in a toilet. Play Para Vivia, will you, for God's sake? Swine flu now in Colorado. Why? Hello? Say Mexico, anyone? Remember what I told you? I started Mexico in one city? That's an affirmative action disease, the swine flu, brought in by the illegal aliens. Remember I brought that up? Go check it out. In fact, they're erecting a statue to the kid. Did you know this? They're so twisted. They're erecting a statue in memory of the kid who first, with the first reported case of this variety of swine flu from that region of Mexico that gave it to the United States and the world. Remember I said close the borders and I was attacked viciously and they had the nerve to say anyone who says close the borders is stupid because the horse is out of the barn? Can you believe this? Well, there were many more horses with the virus that still you didn't come over the border to rape, murder, rob, and take Social Security from your grandmother. I know they all come here to work, according to the demon cats. Para vivir, para vivir, para vivir. I still don't have a caller who went to Otisville. I'm waiting. I want to hear a caller who went to Otisville. A U.S. Bureau of Prison spokesman said Madoff 70 was removed from the Metropolitan Correctional Center, and they wouldn't identify his destination. But a source said Madoff is in fact going to Otisville, which is the facility that his lawyer, Ira Sorkin, requested for him at Madoff's sentencing last month. But I want to know how he's getting into the country club near Middletown, New York. That's near the Concord Hotel. They got golf courses nearby. He could probably sneak out for a Veronica at Shanks. He could probably get a gefilte fish delivered on the side. He could probably cook in the cell in Otisville. I want to know how he got in there. I got one. Bingo. Lulu, welcome to the Savage Nation. You're a prize winner.
Savage. Otisville is for federally protected witnesses. I know someone who was there for less than a year, and he was there under protection, and actually in the kitchen where he was working, he witnessed a murder. A person was stabbed and drowned in a boiling pot of chili, but it is for federally protected.
In a boiling pot of chili?
Yes.
So the guy got whacked inside a prison that's supposed to protect him?
Yes, and this is they think that Madoff is going to be killed for some reason. That's why he's in Otisville. It's for.
Oh my God! So it's the reverse of what we think.
Absolutely.
In other words, if they sent him down to Crackerville, he really would be protected.
Well, I don't know. No, I think he's going to be protected better than anywhere else in Otisville.
But they're going to get him one way or another to silence him. In other words, they're afraid he's going to turn.
I don't say that. I don't say that. This was just a fluke, I guess. It was somebody who was never going to get out of prison who stabbed and drowned in chili this other prisoner who was working in the kitchen.
Drowned in a chili vat. That's disgusting.
And they probably served it to the prisoners, too.
Yeah, that's horrible. Well, let's hope it doesn't happen to Bernie because he's such a good guy who's given so much to the world.
Monster.
Now, wait a minute. I said I'd give you $50, didn't I? I mean, whoever came up with an Otis. But wait a minute. To be fair, I didn't say that. I said I'd give $50 for anyone who could tell me how much it costs to get assigned to Otisville when you got a law sentence. So I'll split the difference with you. I'll give you a book worth $24.95 for free, Lulu. Would you like psychological nudity or healing children naturally?
I'm afraid to give my identity. I will buy it because you write wonderful books.
Oh, because you know the witness and it's a jug. I get it. And, yeah, you don't want anyone knowing because it can come back on you. Lulu, that's terrible, sweetheart. Can I send you anything, but then we'll know your name and all of that?
No, but I'll just keep calling, because I've called before, but with another name.
Isn't that something? Well, you're a nice person, but you know very, very dangerous people, and we'll leave it at that. Thank you, Lulu. See, I appreciate criminals and their wives and girlfriends, because it's another part of America that we all don't talk about, and it's a whole different universe. And so when we see a guy like Madoff, who lived the top of the line, you know, life, and robs people, unbelievable. But if a minority kid, let's say, robs a gold chain off a stand, he gets 9 years. Madoff robbed $150 billion, they say? He's going to go to Otisville, where he gets special pinball machines. I'll be right back. Savage. Listening to the Savage Nation, the number one independently syndicated talk show in the United States of America, and now the UK. 1-800-449-825. Right now, we have dug up a song that we think Bernie Madoff will be humming as he's cleaning toilets in Otisville. Let's listen to the song. This is Bernie Madoff's theme song.
If I were a rich man, yeah, all day long I'd biddy biddy bum. If I were
yes, indeed, as he's cleaning
man,
and scrubbing away in Otisville,
have to work hard.
Bernie will be singing this song.
If I were a biddy biddy rich,
all right, Bernie, have a nice time in Otisville. Thank you very much. Fiddler on the Roof by Bernie Madoff. What else was I going to do? I forgot during the break. I came up with something else. I forgot it. Oh, I was watching that they're already interviewing the Palin family with those scrabbly, those weird beards. You know what I mean? They're already on the Today Show, tomorrow, the same, Mr. Johnston, yeah, another. This guy looks like, these are like, they look like Satanists who kill rabbits who you'd see on Cops when they catch them in a basement with like weird furry animals. What a family! Interviewed on American television. It's like Michael Jackson, the whole thing, Sarah Palin's family. Leave me alone already. The whole family looks like they love, you know, da-da-da. Houston, Robert, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I had a friend years ago back in the late 70s got busted for marijuana. I don't know how true it is or not, but he went to federal pen in Florida. His job was to take the trash out at 8 o'clock in the morning and be back by 5 o'clock in the evening. He'd take his fishing rod with him and fish all day. Also, he got weekend furloughs with his wife. They spent the weekend.
Oh, wow. I'd like to find out how he pulled that one off. Well, Bernie Madoff's going to like a club fed in Otisville. I know many good fishing spots because I hung out there as a kid. Not in Otisville, but I know the Neversink River. I know Lake Hopatcong. There's Kiamisha Lake. There's many good spots Bernie could go to. He'd get a roast pork sandwich, I think, still up at a lake in Kiamisha. Oh, God in heaven. Isn't it crazy? Listen, living well is the best revenge, and you may as well spend it all now. That's what I'm doing. I'm spending all my money. I'm spending every dime because I know that the Obama administration is going to steal it from me if I don't. Everything I've accrued all my entire life, 60 years of hard labor, I know these communist bums are going to take it from me one way or the other. I'm spending it as fast as I can, and I recommend you do too. It's a stimulus plan. Don't let them get their fingers on it. Spend it. You earned it.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Topics for today included the following. One was the confirmation of Judge Sonia Sotomayor. The other is Al Gore seeking to use global warming as an excuse to grab power for a global government. An update on the release of five Iranian detainees, crazy. And the craven and foolish Republican Party. Another topic was the porn king's son held on murder charge in Marin County, California. Remember the Mitchell brothers who created Beyond the Green Door, Behind the Green Door, with Marilyn Chambers? Well, his 27-year-old son killed the mother of his 1-year-old daughter with a baseball bat at her Nevada home. What a family. Some DNA just needs to be, let us say, disappeared from the planet. It's just bad. Is Judge Sotomayor the best choice? Well, many people on the conservative side are saying she's too liberal, which is true. But is she the most liberal of all the possibilities of who Obama and the leftists could have picked? I don't think so. What about this? What if Sonia Mayor happens to be the best choice for the Supreme Court, given the options? Remember who she's replacing. She's replacing Breyer, a liberal. So what would you expect, Obama to pick a conservative? No, he's going to pick a liberal. But how far to the left is she? Well, let's look at the runners-up that were reviewed by the White House before Sotomayor became the nominee. First was Diane Wood, a justice on the Seventh Circuit. She was nominated to the bench. Stench from the bench is making me clench, by Bill Clinton in 1995. Let's look at Diane Wood's record. She had once ruled against a group of taxpayers who wanted to use the RICO statute to recover lost taxpayer funds when a corrupt loan was made to a public official in Chicago. However, when the RICO statute was used on anti-abortion protesters, she said that RICO could be used against them. You see what I just said? She said no to RICO to get back tax money given to a grifter. She said yes to RICO to slam anti-abortion protesters. Okay? Then there was another runner-up named Elena Kagan, the current Solicitor General, nominated to that post by Barack Obama in January. When she was the Dean of Harvard Law, she barred military recruiters from using campus services because of the don't ask, don't tell policy, and she didn't reverse that decision for 2 years until it became clear that the school was risking the loss of federal funds because of the ban. A real radical leftist, Elena Kagan. Who else was on the list of potential Supreme Court nominees that the Obama White House looked into? Well, none other than Janet Napolitano, the current head of Department of Homeland and Security, who I think did not handle the swine flu epidemic properly because of her inability or lack of desire to control illegal immigrants, particularly from Mexico. And she's the one who released the report on right-wing extremism that singled out returning combat veterans and others to be subjected to extra vigilance by law enforcement. Unbelievable. Yes, we all may be unhappy with Sonia Sotomayor. We all may feel she's an extremist. But the alternatives that could have come out of the extraordinary radical Obama White House might have been a whole lot worse. This is Michael Savage. I approve of this monologue. I'll tell you, it's not that important right now. We know it's lib vote, period, end of story. I'll talk about other things for a minute, if you don't mind, okay? Like, I got a small case of the flu yesterday. I know I'm not supposed to get it. I'm Superman. I'm Mr. Herb. I'm Mr. Vitamin. Well, it came on. I don't know whether it was the flu. Whatever. I've been traveling around, and you touch this, you touch that. you shop, you don't put on the gloves, you rub your eye, you rub your ear, you rub your, whatever. So I felt the whole deal, the legs, the this. I said, oh, my God, on a vacation, I don't want this. So then the throat was starting. I'm telling this for a reason. So I went into my protocol because today I'm better. I'm still, like, not out of the woods, but I know that I beat it back because it was coming up like a vengeance in my throat. I once got a sore throat in the Fiji Islands. There was no telephone in those days. We had to use radio telephones to call from where I was collecting plants. I got so sick, they gave me herbs to stop it, or I probably would have died. It was the worst sore throat I ever got in my life. To make a long story short, I felt that monster clawing at my throat again. It was coming up from the depths on the back of my throat. What did I do? First thing I did was go back to vitamin C. I'm talking about 4 grams. That's a flat teaspoonful in juice. You know, really heavy do wackaroo. Then I spray my throat with Echinacea Golden Seal. There's an Echinacea Golden Seal mixture that you spray. I never felt that. This stuff's a miracle, okay? Not calling me Ralph Sotomayor. Okay, it's okay. You can. Don't call me Ralph Sotomayor. I'm talking about the flu. So I'm telling you what I did to stop it. After I got the natural substances in my body, I went to the real natural. I went to scotch and red wine. I normally don't drink scotch because I get a headache from it, but I always drink it when I feel a sore throat coming on because I told you an old man who survived World War II inside the belly of a cow who didn't drink. He was a teetotaler, but at age 90, he said to me, whenever he feels a sore throat coming on, he takes scotch and he basically gargles with it. I didn't gargle. Well, I gargled, then I drank it. There's no point in wasting 1991 single malt scotch, is there? So I took a double twice. The doctor said, take 2 doubles. I'm the doctor, so I said, take 2 doubles. I said, okay, are you sure? I said to myself, yes. I asked myself, are you positive, doctor? The doctor said, I'm sure, so I took 2 doubles. Then I opened up a bottle of Gaia, Italian red, sorry, San Lorenzo. Very, very good. I don't drink it. I swear to God, if you had offered it to me the night before, I went to dinner with some relatives here, red wine, I would have thrown up. They had a bottle of a Chianti Classico. Just smelling it, I got sick. I needed it. I knew what I got. I can't explain how these things work. But you don't realize your body chemistry changes according to various things. Then I cooked. I craved onions. I craved garlic, which I happen to know have phenomenal antibacterial, antiviral properties. And, man, did I make a hot sausage and pasta with the marinara and garlic and Gaia red. And that's it. And I woke up feeling better. So go figure. It works. In other words, everything works. So that's Michael Savage's anti-flu protocol so far. Tomorrow I could be hospitalized, but I'm not hospitalized today. I'm feeling better. And here I am on the air. Obama stopped CIA from hunting and killing Al-Qaeda leaders. Did you read that story? A secret CIA initiative terminated by Director Leon Panetta was an attempt to carry out a 2001 presidential authorization to capture or kill Al-Qaeda operatives. I've never seen an administration like this in my life. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We've had retired Major General Jerry Curry on as a guest a number of times on the Savage Nation to discuss Korea and other military issues. Now he joins us to talk about his new book discussing his life entitled From Private to General, An African-American Soldier Rises Through the Ranks. General Curry, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, this is an absolute delight. I'm glad to be back with you.
Give us the background of your book.
My book From Private to General is about hope, and it's about America. It's about this country and what a wonderful nation this is, and how a young fellow who was a member of the minority, a black American, back in the days when we really had the strong segregation, it travels my time of growing up, entering the Army, and pursuing the military right up through the ranks, finally from private up to general. And it was not all easy, and the book shows there's some very difficult times that came. But this nation makes it possible. No matter how difficult it is, it makes it possible for us to succeed, all of us. And it's a story, I think, for every American today, whether you're a white, black, green, orange, whatever you may be. Get in there, work, get the job done, do your very, very best, There'll be a lot of disappointments, but in the end, this nation will make it possible for you to succeed.
Why did you join the Army?
I was living in a steel town in western Pennsylvania, and people in steel towns, I guess even today, but back then, are very, very patriotic. And when a war comes along, a lot of the young fellows of war draft age volunteer to serve on active duty, and they go down, they enlist. And it was just, that is what, I was patriotic, I wanted to fight for my country, and I didn't have a clue as to what I was doing, but I went down and enlisted.
Well, why do you feel you succeeded in the Army?
A lot of things happened when I went on active duty. I found out that the discipline in my home growing up with my father was much more strict than the discipline in the United States Army. And I found that the work I was doing in the Army, all of the things that they asked me to do, compared to what I had done, like working in that steel foundry, for example, working on a farm growing up, my goodness, I had done a lot more harder work than they were asking of me. And so as a result, I just sort of enjoyed the Army life. They got 3 square meals a day. And then as time went on, finally, one day I woke up and I said, you know, I've been in this Army for a few years. I had better figure out whether I want to stay here or not, or whether I really want to get out of this this Army. And so that's when I finally made a very conscious decision to say, okay, this is going to be my career.
Tell us about your Eagle Scout experience that is in the book.
I'm a young boy. There has never been a black Eagle Scout in western Pennsylvania. Nada. Zero. And I decided I wanted to be an Eagle Scout. All the people in the scouting business said, there's never been a black Eagle Scout, and we doubt very seriously if you can get there, but if you want to try it, go ahead. So I did, and some years went by. I ended up finally qualifying to be an Eagle Scout. And then the time came to award me the Eagle Scout pin, the badge. You know, they put it around, it's on a ribbon, and a red, white, and blue ribbon, they put it around your neck. And they do this in our town anyway. They did it at a dinner that they had with the families. All the families come out. They have this dinner. They call the young boys who've become Eagle Scouts out. There's usually only 3 or 4, 2 or 3. They go up to the front, and, of course, a lot of good words are said over, and then they put the Eagle Scout pin around your neck with the eagle on it. And The Eagle Scout folks said, you know, you finished all the requirements. You're ready to be an Eagle Scout. We always do this at the hotel. I said, we got a little problem. I said, what's the problem? The problem is that black people are not allowed in the hotel. And there are only 2 of you this year who are going to be Eagle Scouts. So the white boy can come, but you're going to have to stay home. And we understand that may not make you feel too good, but that's, you know, that's just the way things are. And I was not happy, of course, about this. And then, though, one of the things that happened is that, now listen to the year. You know, we're talking about around 1949, 1948. And back in those days, we didn't have Jesse Jacksons. We didn't have the NAACP running around all over the place. We didn't have Fox News, for example. The white people who were on the board of directors of the Boy Scouts, with no pressure from anybody, that's the point I'm making, nobody put any pressure on, they got together and they said, you know what, this is wrong. And they made an appointment, went to see the manager of the hotel, and they explained the situation. They said, we want that young fellow and his family to come to dinner. They're going to sit in your dining room, and he's going to walk up on that stage, and we're going to put this little pin on him, and he's going to be declared an Eagle Scout. And if you don't cooperate, we're going to meet with all the businessmen in this town, and we're going to suggest to them that they not patronize your hotel, and you're not going to have any business from the business community. Well, at that, the hotel manager had an epiphany about this, and he decided that it would be just absolutely fine to have this black family come in. And that's exactly what we did. Had a great evening. A great speaker. They gave me a chance to get up there on the stage and say a few words along with the other boy, the white boy, and we both got our pins around our neck. But my point is, this is the United States of America. Those white fellows in the 40s They had no reason to do this, and they did it only because it was the right thing to do. And that's the kind of thing I ran across all my young life out of the military and in the military, which was segregated when I came in. But this is a great country, and it's a country of hope. It's a country of a future, and I just pray that all of the young people coming up today realize what a wonderful place it is to grow up in this country.
All that we hear from the media is how horrible this country is. You say that with honor, perseverance, and hard work, anybody can make it in this country. I hope it's still true under Obama.
That's America. You know, that's what George Washington and Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, that's what that was all about. That's what this country was. That's how we got this nation founded. Yeah, you can stand back like the media does today, and you can throw rocks at everybody, and you can be nasty and noisy, and you can say bad things about the United States. But my wife and I, because we were in the military, we lived overseas much of our adult life. We lived in Europe. Five tours I had in Europe. We lived in the Far East. We talked to foreigners. We ate with foreigners. We had evening discussions over dinner with foreigners. And any foreigner that we talked to at some point in time would always comment that the United States was a wonderful and a great country, and they hoped to either visit there or they hoped to come and live in the United States of America. And this is from foreigners, not from Americans. I think that the people in the news media need to go and talk to some of the real foreigners who live overseas. I remember I was invited to a German meeting, and they were setting up a German organization, and somebody in the group stood up and said, well, I nominate General Curry to be the vice president of this organization. And some German jumped up and said, wait a minute, these Americans, you know, they're taking over everything, and they're doing this, and we don't want any Americans running a German organization. And then at the end of it, after he had finished his little tirade and sat down, another German stood up, and this German looked around at the group, and he said, gentlemen, he said, I want to be very clear with everybody here. He said, if Germany tomorrow gets into trouble and needs some nation to come to its aid with military armed forces to help it maintain its peace and its liberty and its democracy, the nation that will lead the fight for Germany is the United States of America, and we all know that. So let's not say things that we will regret later on.
General Curry, thank you for your service to our nation, and thanks again for being on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And it's Monday, and it's Blue Monday, and here's what's on michaelsavage.com. Over 1.2 million unique visitors every month. That's right. Obama stops the CIA from hunting and killing al-Qaeda leaders. That's right, you heard correctly. There was a 2001 presidential authorization to capture or kill our worst enemies in al-Qaeda, and Leon Panetta, under Obama's rules, stopped the CIA from hunting and killing our worst enemies. This is crazy. On the right side, the Republicans and Eric Holder, that's our attorney general, are battling over the new Black Panthers, wanting to know why he dismissed charges of voter intimidation against two members of the new Black Panther Party. If you remember, these fine gentlemen are on video holding clubs outside a voting booth, not in Zambia, but in the United States of America. We don't know if they're working for Obama or where they are, but they haven't been prosecuted. This is a heartbreaker. You're not going to believe it. Kids recant sex abuse charge after their father was imprisoned for 20 years. A 33-year-old son said he told Detective Sharon Krause he was abused by his father to get the detective to leave him alone. I've heard a lot of this, that these detectives harass the children into these false accusations against parents. Me, I'd put the detective in prison for 20 years. This just in from Marin County, California. Porn king's son held in women's slaying. 27-year-old son of the late Jim Mitchell killed the mother, allegedly, of his 1-year-old daughter with a baseball bat. Like father, like son, I guess. Don't miss this new article about Michael Savage It can be found somewhere on my website. I don't know where. It's been buried, lost in space. I think they dropped it, but it's worth reading. I don't think it's there, but it's worth reading. Somebody dropped the most important story on the website. Police suspect wife strangling boxing champ with her purse strap. What? How could a former boxing champion be strangled by his wife's purse strap? Something's wrong with that picture. From Los Angeles, kids left in maggot-filled home while mom smoked pot. Obama approval index falls further. That's -8 now from the Rasmussen poll. That's right, went down another 3 points after his big trip abroad. Oh, communist past of Obama's green job czar. Remember Van Jones, who ran the police watch group in Oakland and harassed police in the state of California? Well, he's just been given a green job czar post. And according to Newsbusters, he has a very checkered past, deep-rooted in radical politics, including black nationalism. Wow. Anarchism. Ooh. And communism. And you say there's nothing weird about Obama? Study says cats really do control humans. Well, I would say that communists really do control humans. Well, that's it for now from MichaelSavage.com. Be sure to go on that site today and every day. And if you want to support the Savage Legal Fund, remember, Michael Savage Legal Fund is fighting for freedom of speech, both mine and yours. Today it's Michael Savage, tomorrow it's you. Send checks to 110 Pacific Avenue, Box 135, San Fran 94111. This fight is far from over. Play me a song for a minute. Oh, that is so corny, my God. What is that, Patricia by Paris Prado? Roller skating. Okay, I'll do some nostalgia for you. Roller skating. I gotta get my head into roller skating music. That's what this is, roller skating music. Flushing Meadow Park roller rink. Circa 1956, 57, 58. Roller skating at night. My cousin and my uncle. He glided around the track. I was astounded. How could a middle-aged man glide around a track with his hands behind his back? That was good. I couldn't understand it. I don't know how he did it. But then I saw pictures, like black and whites, of him as a runner in the 1920s. He was actually a marathon runner. Who knew? Who knew that a guy who ate pickles and onions was a marathon runner? How could it be that a guy who was bald-headed was once a marathon runner? How could you know? How could you know? How could you know any of these things? Because to the youth, there is no past. To the youth, there is no future. And who would have thought you'd wind up in Sizzler? When you started out with a beret on the west, whatever. Turn it off. Well, something I talked about recently was Sotomayor. Play the clip.
Many senators have asked me about my judicial philosophy.
No.
It is to apply the law.
Right, sure, okay.
And it is clear, I believe, that my record in two courts reflects my rigorous commitment to interpreting the Constitution according to its terms.
She's a windbag liar, in my opinion. I don't care what you think of what I just said. What, because they elevate you? You heard of her? 2 months ago, you never heard of her. Now, suddenly, she's gone already. She said to white people, drop dead. Based on race, you're not getting it anywhere. What do you want to cover this up? Now she's already playing Miss Moderate. The task of a judge is not to make law. It is to apply the law. And my record shows my rigorous attempt to wreck the Constitution according to my terms, is what she should have said. You forgot already the fireman decision that was just overturned by the whole Supreme Court? She is not qualified. This is a repeat of Ruth Bader Ginsburg all over again, with the same Republican types once again ushering in a radical extremist. However, as I said at the beginning of the show, she may be the least extreme of the extremists that Obama could have picked. How do you like that? You expect them to pick a centrist? So forget about it. It's a waste of time, the whole thing. It's a rubber stamp job. You may as well be living in Bolivia in the 1950s, where they pick a judge from wherever they want. What are you talking about? A judge? She's a judge like you're a judge. In my day, this woman wouldn't have been a judge, a district judge. But because America has become a different world today than the day I grew up. And remember, I'm the son of an immigrant. But I wasn't told that because you're the son of an immigrant, they're going to lay down for you and give you they're going to grease the skids. In fact, the opposite was true. They said to me, because you're the son of an immigrant, you're going to have to work 10 times harder to get anywhere. Because you are the son of an immigrant, people are going to mock you. They're going to push you down. They're going to try to keep you down. And you're going to have to outdo them with hard work. And whatever God gave you in between your head isn't enough. You know what they say, genius is 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. You heard that? Well, let me tell you something. I'm the living embodiment of it. But so are millions of you out there. That was in my day. But no longer today. Today, before they get off the banana boat, me, immigrant, you, racist, I sue ACLU. Right away, boom. Right away, they want to go to the head of the class and push you in the back of the bus. That's the new immigrant in America today. Take a look at what's going on in Los Angeles. Take a look at what's going on in the city of Los Angeles and the state of California, what illegal immigrants have done, like a scythe through the state. Lied by the politicians, lie for them every day of the week. Take a look at the fact that one-third of all prisoners are illegal aliens. What are you going to do with that fact? Twist it? They didn't come here to work. They came here to rob, steal, rape, counterfeit, whatever they can get away with. Killing police, killing women, raping women, and running back across the border and laughing at you. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. You're a liar if you don't know the reality of it. And the politicians are the worst criminals of all, covering up for these criminals and liars. The politicians are gangsters. They're the godfather, every one of them. Every last criminal enterprise, fronting for drug dealers, fronting for pimps, fronting for pornographers, fronting for Saudi Arabia, fronting for communist China, fronting for Cuba, fronting for Venezuela, and they're not fronting for you. Who the hell is representing you? Tell me who the hell represents you in Congress. Tell me the last time you heard anyone get up there and talk about America and the soldiers and the police and the American family. Tell me the last time you heard anybody in Congress speak for you. You didn't, because they don't. The only people who do are Michael Savage and a few others in talk radio and many bloggers. That's it. That's the entire representation of the American people. The Tea Party's represented you. Did you see any broadcast on the media after July 4th? They spit on you! Those empty suits, those department store dummies without secondary sexual characteristics, like Wolf Blitzer, that piece of garbage. They don't represent the American people. They represent the criminals that run America. And they make believe you don't exist. So that's it. I look forward to the show every day because I work out my hostility and my depression. So what? What's wrong with that? That's a metaphor also. You're telling me that a competitive athlete is not working out something within him or herself through sports? Are you going to tell me that most entertainers, let's say strictly entertainers, don't have an animus within themselves that they're working out on stage? You don't understand entertainers if you think so. And I don't care how benign they present themselves. The fact is that they have an animus within them that needs activation through their profession, if you want to call comedy or acting or whatever a profession, which certainly it can be if you're talented at it. And I would venture to propose to you listening to this show, if you'd like to comment, that most people who achieve anything in the world have something that they were trying to prove. It's not so much that they were doing it necessarily for the good of humanity or just strictly for money. I'm talking about the real achievers on the planet, not the ordinary. Although even the ordinary achievement requires a tremendous amount of push. Where does that push come from? What is within a person that makes Sammy run? Remember the book, What Makes Sammy Run, many years ago? What's the animus within a person that would drive them so hard to succeed in some extraordinary way? I don't know. You know, there's a lot of things working inside the human being, which was what makes us so utterly unbelievable. I mean, a dog lays on a step. You rub a dog on the stomach and give him a meal and take him for a walk. He lays on a step with his tongue out, rolls over for you to rub his belly. We're not dogs. We have higher aspirations. At least we should. That's what separates us from a dog. And if you just want to roll over and have the government rub your belly and give you a bone, go ahead, vote for Obama, because you've turned yourself into basically a pet. That's how I see it. I come from people who were immigrants. They all struggled. They wouldn't take a dime in a government handout. They'd rather throw themselves off a fire escape. Today, the government says you have to take it. You're not a good American unless you take a handout from the great Chairman Obama. It's crazy, the whole thing. It's upside down. But millions and millions of people see the world the way I do. Whether we are a diminishing number of people is the question. Whether the next generation, or let's say the younger generation, still can have a work ethic in a society like this, and whether they still want to achieve, I don't know. Certainly some do. Certainly many of you listening to the show will identify with what I'm saying, and you want to achieve, you know, you want to climb to the stars, so to speak. What drives you, though? What drives you? Why do you want to succeed? Tell me why. It's an interesting question. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You know, I've talked about the emasculation of our men in today's society, beginning with our boys who are not permitted to be boys. And at the first sign of energy, they're labeled problems, and they're given medicine. Because they act like boys, they're treated as though they're sick. Joining us today is Dr. Peter Breggin, who says a big part of this problem comes from modern psychiatry and psychology.
Yes, Michael, modern psychiatry and psychology are among the most destructive forces in America today. They undermine the truth that effective living requires, above all else, solid values and the courage and determination to live by them. These so-called sciences of psychology and psychiatry not only promote relativism of values, they enforce a materialistic view of human beings. The most profound spiritual problems in life include learning self-discipline and personal responsibility, overcoming anxiety, triumphing over sad feelings and depressed feelings, and maintaining our self-worth through acting at all times on our best nature and highest ideals. But psychiatry and psychology reduce these spiritual issues to biochemical imbalances and mental disorders. This robs the individual of any hope of genuine human growth. Psychiatry and psychology, in effect, teach the religion or philosophy of materialism.
Seems to me we're teaching this philosophy to little children when they get diagnosed and then given psychiatric drugs.
Yes, Michael, it begins in elementary school and sometimes even earlier when kids learn that children who misbehave or displease adults have a disease called ADHD that requires them to take medicines. The effects of these misguided lessons are morally staggering. Children who are stigmatized with psychiatric diagnoses are likely to forever view themselves as defective and limited. They will learn to see themselves as unable to exert self-control the way normal children do. They will be taught to take pills when they need instead to learn self-discipline. While taking the drugs, their brains will be sufficiently impaired to prevent their learning subtle moral distinctions and emotional self-discipline. Even children who remain undiagnosed will suffer the moral hazards of this approach. They are being taught the world is divisible into two kinds of people, those with disorders and those without them. Many will end up self-diagnosing, turning to prescription or even illegal drugs as a solution to their problems as they grow up. When the children are older, in high school and especially in college, they will not be taught that human beings fail or succeed in life. Indeed, they live and die by their values. Their health instructors and professors of psychology will make no mention whatsoever of the truth that America was founded on the principles of political liberty and individual responsibility, and that living by these principles is the starting point of a successful and happy life. Instead, they will learn that a good life is a happenstance determined by the presence or absence of biochemical imbalances and psychiatric disorders.
What do you mean by materialism?
In Marxist theory, man is a soulless creature who can do little more than respond to his environment. There's no ghost in the machine, no choice-making person inside the black box. Pavlov believed the same thing as the Marxists, that humans and dogs alike can be shaped by carefully controlled rewards. He became the official psychologist of atheistic, materialistic communism. But even Pavlov, after seeing how dogs struggle to get free of any restraint, concluded that there must be a freedom reflex. Modern psychiatry continues to treat us as soulless biological mechanisms. It's even more simplistic than Pavlov, who at least conceded the existence of that freedom reflex. In regard to out-of-control children, for example, there is no attempt in psychology and psychiatry to help them to understand the importance of self-control and self-discipline. Meanwhile, their parents are taught to drug them rather than to more effectively teach them a consistent set of values to govern their behavior. Parents drag their rebellious offspring to the doctor's office for drugs without being told the obvious fact that an out-of-control child needs to learn moral restraint. The treatment of adults is equally corrupted by this materialistic view of life. In reality, people become depressed because they are conflicted and lose hope of finding a way to live an ethical and happy life. Yet few health professionals are likely to ask the depressed person, "What hopes have you given up? What moral dilemmas are you in? Why does your life feel like a lost cause? Do you want help living more courageously by a better set of values?" Couples can go through years of family therapy sessions without once being asked if they love each other, and without once being asked if they want to take responsibility for reclaiming and honoring that love. Most Americans believe in God, but mental health professionals rarely offer guidance in how to use faith to strengthen self-esteem, to strengthen ethics, and to empower people in their ability to share a more loving and joyful life. Rooted in wholly materialistic values, psychiatry and psychology are indeed among the most destructive forces in our culture. Michael, there is so much to say about this, but now I'll conclude with the refrain of my weekly report, the primary principles, which have never been more relevant. Protect freedom, take responsibility at all times, express gratitude for all your gifts and opportunities, become a source of love. This is psychiatrist Peter R. Breggin, urging you to live like an American. You can find me and listen to all these reports and download the transcripts at Breggin.com. That's Breggin.com.
Thanks, Dr. Breggin. This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.